Well, it's been a long weekend, but you know what you can't let get long?
This ad.
Promo code Dangle for Manscaped, 20% off, free shipping, enter it now. Let's start the show.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The Steve Dangle Podcast. Powered by Sports Interaction. Canada's Sportsbook.
The Steve Dangle Podcast with your hosts, Steve Dangle, Adam Wilde, and Jesse Blake.
Nazem Kadri with a statement. A statement before the game, a statement during the game, a statement after the game on the TNT panel with Paul Bissonnette. Have a listen and a look at what he said. And I got to tell you, man, this is one of those things where this is why you love Nazem Kadri.
Naz, Biz here. Obviously, you know, with everything going into this game, I'm sure you're aware, maybe they were going to take some runs at you. You score the goal, then Buchnevich takes that run, and then after that, on the ensuing play, they end up taking two stupid penalties. What was said to you on the bench by Bednar after when you were on there and he was patting your shoulder?
Just to stay patient, stay poised, and, you know, that's something I've been, you know, prepping myself for a while, obviously, after last year, so... You know, for me, I'll take all the punches I can, convert on the power play. That one hurt him. So that's the end of the story.
Now, as I know you like playing on the road, and then you played into it tonight, but obviously there's different things that you have to deal with here. And we saw the story about online posts and some threats made toward you, death threats made towards you, racist threats made towards you on Twitter. How do you deal with all that and move on and play?
Unfortunately, I've been dealing with that for a long time. You know, that's sad to say, but that's just the fact of the matter. I'm getting good at just putting it in the rearview mirror. It's a big deal. I try to act like it's not and just keep moving forward. So, you know, that's what I do. And, you know, I know that doesn't reflect some of those messages I got. Doesn't reflect every single fan in St. Louis. But, you know, for those that hate, that one's for them.
Everyone was focusing on the last line, and it's a wonderful line. It's a wonderful line. It's a big deal, but I try to act like it's not. That kind of hit me. You know what I mean? And he has been dealing with it forever.
I want to read
since junior.
That's how people try and dismiss these things. They say, "Oh, it's just online. Just don't look at your phone or whatever." No, it's a big deal.
One of the best writers Sportsnet has is Sonny Sachdeva.
Yes.
He is phenomenal. And I want to read his thread to you if I can with regards to that last bit of the Kadri comment, because obviously that's the quote that's floating around everywhere today. He said, "One of the most frustrating things about this Kadri situation, after seeing him overcome all of this hate thrown at him, it'll just be wrapped up as an obstacle to be moved past, as a stepping stone to some type of greatness. A bad thing, but maybe not so bad because of what came of it. That's not what's happening here. It's all bad through and through either way. Being forced to use racist, hateful harassment of your family as fuel for performance is more than anything else a last resort, a way to survive a brutal and unnecessary situation, the only way out. Nothing but praise for Nazem for finding a way to be at his best through all this. But for those who have never had to deal with this nonsense directed at your skin, appreciate that doing what he is doing is 1,000 times harder than he's made it look. So raise Nazem up for showing impossible composure through this. But remember, he could have been great either way. BIPOC players shouldn't need to check off overcoming racism as a prerequisite to do big things. It's not a given. It just happens to seek them out over and over again."
Well, and also, like, the racism, but also the I think people are glossing over, "Oh, it's not a big deal. It's online." The fucking death threats. Death threats.
And his wife posted some of the stuff he got and what she got.
Yeah. And like, it's easy for you to say, like, you've never gotten them. I've got them. I've gotten to the cops.
Yep.
I've gone to the cops over them. And they did about as much for me as they did for Nas, which is not much, because they're still getting a handle on this shit. They're still, they don't know how to hold people responsible. And when I brought this stuff to the police, they agreed that I was right to bring it to them. And then at the end of the day, I was basically told, listen, generally speaking, in these situations, they just get bored, block them, and move on. So that's it. Those are the options. You can just do the shit and get away with it.
Friend of the show, Rick Westhead, said, if Nazem Kadri played sports in the UK, those who have posted online hate versus him might face criminal charges. UK police and prosecutors aggressively pursue threats and hate speech versus pro athletes in those cases. A 19-year-old in March was jailed for 6 weeks for posting hate speech regarding Manchester United's Marcus Rashford, which I remember that story. He said, law enforcement in Canada have told me these cases are complex and hard to prosecute. A warrant is needed for an IP address for the details. So you need to get a warrant just to even find the IP. And then burden of proof is to establish who posted is complicated, especially if the message is using public Wi-Fi. So even if an account posts something and you're the owner of that account and you've posted something racist, what your lawyer can then do is say, well, somebody else had a hold of the account. It was hacked. And so the burden of proof is on the accuser or the prosecutor to say, no, we know it was you. And it's hard to do that when you go, like if you go to Starbucks and you use their Wi-Fi. So it's one of those things where and Rick finishes this off, and I think this is the most important, is seems to be just real reluctance to go hard after online hate. And I would agree with that. Now, if you're not fully aware of what happened, and you can be forgiven for not knowing everything, we have a tendency sometimes on this show of believing that everybody's on Twitter all the time, like
I'm bad at that.
And the reality is, context is extremely important in this situation. It was just a long weekend in Canada, and people have lives and don't necessarily always... They're not always up to date on this, especially as you have kids, it gets harder and harder. So let's start from the beginning. There is a collision in the previous game between Kadri and Binnington, and there's actually a defenseman from St. Louis in there as well.
Callie Rosen,
who they were traded for each other.
Yes.
With each other, originally. That's right. Now, obviously, the collision is a hard collision. And it leads to Jordan Binnington sustaining an injury that is going to keep him out for the remainder of the series at least. And, you know, if you know anything about how the playoffs have run for the St. Louis Blues, you know that, you know, they started with Husso, but really have been riding Binnington, right? So it's a big loss to have your goalie go down like
that. You've been playing very well.
What were your thoughts on the original play between Rosen, Binnington, and Kadri?
I thought it was really unfortunate.
It didn't seem like a targeted thing to me.
No, he didn't run the goalie. It was two guys going for a loose puck, and they end up taking out the goalie. I mean, it does happen.
Sure it does.
It does happen.
Happened in Tampa and Toronto. Jesse?
Happens all the time.
In the play, I think post-game, because that was game three on Saturdays when that happened. I thought post-game, when Kadri was recapping the play, I thought he did the best job of describing what happened there, because he was talking about it's the weak side defenseman who comes over and kind of pushes Kadri towards the net. So he doesn't have really an option to go anywhere but towards Binnington, and he gets a little squeezed. There's no intent on running the goalie. And like you said, Adam, they were really riding Binnington. And I made the case for Binnington for Conn Smythe last week with Steve on the Jesse Blake Sports Report.
Starting to look that way for a while. It was.
Because he was playing unbelievable. And St. Louis rallied around this, be like, oh, Nas is trying to take out our best player. And that's not what happened in that play at all. It's a shame that he got pigeonholed for this when it was really Rosen who squeezed him.
Now, here's where things escalate. Because that's a hockey play. And if you're a St. Louis Blues fan, you have every right to be pissed.
Yes.
If that happened to Jack Campbell in the Tampa series, I'd be like, fuck. But this is where things get ratcheted up a notch, because after the game, Nazem Kadri is talking on camera, I believe, to the TNT panel.
Yep.
And he looks around him all of a sudden, mid answer.
It was weird.
And he's like, somebody just threw a water bottle at me. I think it was and I believe that he insinuated that it could have been Binnington.
Yeah.
Or that it was Binnington. Now, have we got confirmation that it was?
Another reporter, Baugh, I think his last name was. Peter Baugh, is that his name? He said that it was Bennington.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So
I don't know if there's footage.
We do have confirmation.
Yeah, there is confirmation. Bennington. So Bennington.
Every year in the playoffs, I learn new reporters. And
yeah, of course. Sorry. Listen, you're not going to know every reporter. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Not every reporter knows us. It's all good. Bennington. This is where it gets problematic, because Bennington, other than the fact that he causes shit and then walks away all the time. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Blues fans. All the time. Fake punches guys, comes out to center, talks a lot of shit and lets his teammates kind of pick up for him. That's what he does. He also has a history of racist tweets against brown people. If you remember, there were some 2011 tweets that were pulled up when he was a much younger man. Might even have been a teenager at that point. And he was tweeting about
OHL.
I don't even need to get into what he was tweeting about. However, he was tweeting about it and it was racist. And I don't know. I believe there was an apology issued.
Tweets are still there.
Are they still there?
And they super don't need to be.
Are they still there?
I've never heard about this.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. It happened. Came out right around the time they were either in the playoffs or it was right after they won the cup.
I can't remember. Well, because he wasn't much of a factor in the NHL picture.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until... Man, he didn't make it to the NHL as a regular until long after he was drafted.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that year, 2019.
Yeah, and then I don't know how people discover these things from 2011, 2012, but yeah, they found some pretty shitty stuff.
Oh, wow.
So, this is from 2019. There are two tweets from January 25th, 2013. Bennington was 19 at the time, so he was an adult. Okay. Three tweets, actually. And... when asked about it, Jeremy Rutherford asked him about it. He said, it was a while ago when I was a teenager. It was just a little sarcasm and joking around. That's what life is about. You live and you learn and you grow as a human. I'm just here to play a couple hockey games. So it was a non-apology. And obviously...
Don't want to be a distraction.
Right. And so...
That'll be a theme.
So obviously, there's a little bit of the fact that Nazem Kadri's background is what it is. And Bennington's background is what his is in terms of the racist tweets that have been associated with him. And from there on, St. Louis fans start to attack Nazem Kadri. Now, you don't find out about this in the moment, obviously. We're not, you know, we don't find out about it till the next day until we find out there was a report that the police were involved and that potentially Nazem Kadri received so many threats that he was under police watch 24/7, like armed guard.
Yeah, the tweets that are Instagram messages that his wife posted that Mike Stevens then reposted, those are the ones she put out there. I'm willing to bet the ones that the police are aware of are not those ones.
I would bet that too.
Which means they're worse.
Yes, because if you put that out there, then there's legal implications, right? So you have to...
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah. So all of this happens... And then going into the game, and Jesse, if you could bring up Craig Berube's clip, they asked, so Craig Berube is aware of all this, by the way. He's aware of what happened with Nazem. He's aware of Bennington's pass. He's aware of the throwing of the water bottle. And then he's aware of the abuse thrown at Nazem Kadri because it had broken several hours before. And what was the other, there was another incident with this with the NHL. It's like, Where I feel like it was Alain Vigneault a couple of years ago. And he's like, yeah, I just don't. He was like, it was like Black Lives Matter. And he's like, I only focus on hockey. I think it was during Black Lives Matter.
I think you're right.
It was in the bubble when everything was going down with George Floyd. And the NHL was extremely disappointing through that whole situation. And yeah, a whole bunch of coaches were asked about that. And they were just like, you know, I'm here to play hockey.
Yeah, I'm just here to, be in the bubble. I live so much in a bubble that I've not seen the front page of the news for the last month. And so, anyway, long story short, Berube is given an opportunity, guys, given an opportunity to say, I don't agree with what Nazem Kadri did. I feel like X, Y, and Z against my goaltender. However, it's fucking bullshit what's happening to him right now. If you're a fan of the Blues, we don't want you if you're doing this kind of shit. That's all he has to say. It's a perfect answer.
Like, that's not even a tap in, Adam. Like, it's right there on the lip of the hole. And all you got to do is basically blow the thing.
Yeah.
And you got a hole in one. And he right here smacks the golf ball onto a neighboring golf course.
Oh, Heard about how'd it go today in the morning skate? What's the mindset of the team, would you say?
Yeah, all good, same. I think our mindset's been in a good spot. It hasn't changed. You know, we got a tough battle tonight and tweak a few things here and there, but good skate this morning, ready to go.
What are your thoughts towards the threats to Kadri?
I got no comment on that stuff.
Do you, on game day, do you talk to the goalies much or no?
No, I say hi to them. About it.
Uh-huh. We're all chuckling. This is just regular, right?
I got no comments on that. And it wasn't even about, you know, the thing is I gave you an answer that you could have said, hey, what did you feel about the Nazem Kadri controversial situation that happened in the game? They didn't even ask him about that part. They just asked, what do you think about the threats?
It's so easy to just say.
If you're a Blues fan and you do that, you're not a Blues fan. We don't want you. That's all you have to say.
Yep. That's it. So, like, you're going to get some people saying, like, oh, well, that's a no-win question. Yes, it super is. Yes, it super is a winnable question. Hey, do you think this is bad? Sure do. Do you think this obviously bad thing is bad? Sure do. Don't do it. And he goes, no comment.
And here's the problem, right? So many times in the past, you've had commentators, and I blame, you know, members of the media, of which I'm one, for this. We give former hockey players a pass on these things. Well, they're not great in front of the media. Well, their job is hockey and not speaking for a living. Well, this, well, that. Here's the problem. First off, Craig Berube was an NHLer for like 15 years. He knows how to speak to the media. Number two, when you take on a leadership position in this sport, which means you're a head coach, head anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're a coach, you're a general manager. I don't care if you're assistant or if you're, that's a leadership position, CEO, president, whatever it is you want to have that title where you're in the management chain, that's your face next to the head coach. You're a leader and you need to lead. And Craig Berube in that position punted, did not lead, and frankly, took an extremely easy question and turned it into, because here's the thing. The people that are going to make these comments to Nazem Kadri have a lot of issues, right? The people that attack on DMs have a lot of issues. A lot of issues.
Yeah.
What you've just done to them, remember, these are not fully functioning brains that do this. I don't think. These are not, I don't care how quote unquote smart these people think they are. Anybody that would do that, you got a problem and you need therapy at minimum. The thing with Berube,
you can tell the difference between birds chirping and okay, this fucking guy's unhinged,
right? And there seems to be a lot of unhinged lately. Yeah. And all Berube had to do was say to them, "You're not one of us."
Yeah.
But instead, they take his non-answer as, "Well, even he agrees," because that's how they would take that, whether or not he does. And I don't even know. Here's the problem: is I walk away from that press conference, and one would assume that the head coach of the other team would not agree with social media attacks against Nazem Kadri. But I don't know, because he didn't answer it. Why would you leave that as a question mark? Ever?
I think he might have been in a bad mood. Can I tell you why I think he might have been in a bad
mood? Tell me. I would love to know.
Because he, the night before, had talked, or it was the night before, or the within 48 hours of those comments, talked about Kadri's reputation,
mm-hmm.
which, you know... Listen, if I was a member of the St. Louis Blues organization, would I be willing to give Nazem Kadri the benefit of the doubt that he didn't run my goalie? No, probably not. You know, let's be honest. He was suspended 3 of the last 4 playoffs. No, probably not. But he talked about Kadri's reputation. So a lot of people went, okay, we're playing this game there, Berube? And they pulled
What about Bennington's reputation?
What about Berube's reputation when he was suspended in 1997 when he was a player for a racial slur directed at rookie Pete Worrell?
What? I didn't know about that.
A lot of people didn't know that. And so they put that out there, and it's a story that was long forgotten. And
never knew about it.
Did not know.
It's long forgotten, and, you know, he supposedly reached out to Peter Worrell after that and apologized and all that, but the story is resurfaced and it's a headache now. And, you know, we talked about this, not to relate these two stories, but the comparable is it's too on the nose to ignore. Joel Quenneville during the Blackhawks thing just didn't want to make waves, didn't want any interruption. His team is doing well. I don't want anyone to interrupt with this playoff run. I don't want any distraction. Our team is doing too well. Here's a story that is, frankly, from a hockey playing perspective, a distraction. And here's a coach punting again. Because the easiest thing to do in the world is ignore. And that's what he's trying to do.
Wow.
Yep.
And you know,
there's a lot of stuff from the 90s that players, I'm sure, are thrilled is long forgotten.
Oh yeah.
And that's one of them.
Oh yeah. There's a few things that are coming to mind right now. Nazem Kadri goes out in game four in the unfriendly confines in St. Louis after several death threats and a ton of racist shit. Obviously, we've seen what his wife posted. And scores a fucking hat trick.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Scores a fucking hat trick, man. In the NHL playoffs, I think it was his first ever.
Probably.
First playoff hat trick?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That is...
Here's me trying to think of Leaf ones. Oh, no.
That's a fucking gamer right there.
Yeah, man.
Fucking guts. That's determination. And what Sonny Sachdeva tweeted is all true.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unbelievable, unbelievable statement game on who Nazem Kadri is. You might not like always his play style. Believe me, we had our criticisms here when he got suspended two playoffs in a row. I get it.
Which is worthy of criticism.
Worthy of criticism.
Yeah.
But one thing we never ever said in Toronto, and except for like early in his career, and we didn't even have a show then, people were like, sometimes he plays unfocused, relaxed, passion, whatever. And I would chalk that up to maturity. You're seeing why Nazem Kadri was drafted eighth overall. You're seeing all the potential, ninth overall. Yeah. You're seeing all the potential that this guy had happening right now. And the Colorado Avalanche are the direct beneficiaries of it.
Yeah.
I thought everything, the way he played last night, the passion, the commitment last night from Nazem Kadri, and it took a ton of commitment to get to that point. Boy, he was the best player on the ice.
Man, I was texting producer Drew about that this morning. Like, this, it's no shock. It was always there. It was always there. That's why he got the chances that he did in Toronto. You know, some people were talking about how he was punted from the city. No, man. We hated that he was traded. We understood it, but we hated it. And none of us are shocked to see him thrive. No one who watched him play a game in a Leaf uniform is surprised that he's having success in an Avalanche uniform. This was always there. And it breaks my heart a little bit, but I mean,
I'm happy for him.
I am. It's one of those bittersweet things. Like, fuck, I wish you could have done that here, but.
And I think on the other side, we should talk about just the gutless performance by the St. Louis Blues on how they're throughout the entire game. David Perron is trying to run him, and it's very blatant. And he's going after him every single chance he has. He's cross-checking him in the back. He has a missed elbow after Kadri scores.
That was crazy. When you watch that replay, holy shit.
That connects. We don't see him until, take your pick, Canadian or American Thanksgiving.
Both of them.
Like, but sure.
Suspensions and injuries.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Imagine Kadri is blindsided by that, knocked unconscious. Yeah, we can't see David Perron for a long time. And you talk about a player losing composure. You know, we talked about potential Conn Smythe candidates for the St. Louis Blues if they were to go all the way. David Perron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
David Perron's had an unbelievable playoff.
Mm-hmm. He's been spectacular.
And he was useless to the St. Louis Blues with the mindset that he brought into game four.
Which is, he didn't want to play hockey. He wanted to beat up on Kadri.
100%.
You can't win like that.
Listen, lay a beating on your opponent, fine. But he played completely, completely distracted, zero head in the game. And you're one of their best players. The Blues can't afford that.
And it cost their team directly because the Blues were still in the game. There's a point where it's 3-1. And then they, just by going at the guys, they caused a 5-on-3 where the Avalanche scored their fourth goal. And at that point, it was over.
Jesse Marshall, friend of the show, Jesse Marshall from Pittsburgh, said, David Perron with a Hall of Fame night of embarrassing moments. Completely caved at 5-on-5, losing the shot and expected goal battle 30-70%.
which is a surprise.
He'd be the 30 side. Yeah, I know. But given how he's played,
yep.
This is an all-time bad game for Perron. Attempts to hit Kadri, bounces off, retaliates with the embarrassing penalty. And that, I believe, was that not right after they'd killed a penalty? Because he talked
that,
about...
That was the one that caused a 5-on-3.
Right.
So it was they were on the penalty kill, and then Perron makes this play, and then that goes to the 5-on-3. I'm pretty sure that's how it went.
Because what he said afterwards was, you know, listen, I was trying to get the team going, and, you know, we figured if we killed this penalty, we'd be able to rally around it. And it's just such a needless, pointless play. And then obviously the flying elbow that you can see online right now, he tries to elbow Kadri after one of the goals, misses completely. I think it was goal number 2 for Kadri.
That the taunt goal?
The taunt goal, I believe, was the, quote unquote, the taunt goal. I wouldn't call it a taunt goal, but the can you hear me goal?
Yeah.
Or I can't hear you goal.
Awesome. So Buchnevich and Perron got penalties at the same time.
We're reading the exact same thing.
Right. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. So yeah, it was at the same time because they both deserve penalties.
No, read them.
So Pavel Buchnevich roughing on Nazem Kadri because he wrecked Kadri from behind after Kadri and Perron had their initial interaction. Then David Perron cross-checking on Nazem Kadri, and I mean, you could have got him for any.
How often do you see the same player receive two penalties or on the receiving end of two penalties? You know, they're both nice. Against Kadri, or all they're on Kadri. It's crazy.
No, I know. And those are in it directly. How many goals did he score in this game then? You know what
right.
I mean? Because, well, it's, I would have said more, or no, who got the power play goal there? Holy shit, the Avalanche really started the second period on fire.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, man. It's just the St. Louis Blues achieved exactly the opposite of their goal as it pertains to Nazem Kadri.
Yeah, and that's top down. Like, that's on Berube.
Yeah.
It was clearly a distraction. And, like, I get the hockey debate. We can have the debate all night long about, hey, did he run the goalie or not? That's okay. But, like, the off-the-ice stuff, that's a whole different other world, the threats and the racism. You can speak to that. And then also have your team under control so they're not affected by this stupid hockey thing about him running the goalie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he lost control of his team.
And yep. And you know what? You can't have your best playoff. It's Kairou and Perron. Those are the two best players for St. Louis right now. You can't have one of them doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't. I want you to put it in the context. If you're a Leaf fan, put it in the context if Marner or Matthews were doing that. We would be shredding them.
Oh,
this
yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'd be tearing them apart.
If Matthews was out there throwing elbows at guys after the whistle?
People would be like, that's insane. You cannot do that and expect to win. Now, I gotta say,
$5,000 fine for Perron for cross-checking Kadri.
Just announced.
Is that what your phone just vibrated?
Yeah.
Well, that's timely.
Wow. That is the most timely tweet we've ever seen. Usually that breaks after the show.
Wow.
Good thing we're late today.
Thanks.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, phone.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
I wonder, I mean, the NHL doesn't do anything preemptively when it comes to discipline, supplemental discipline. So that's what he got for the cross check. And if anyone thinks he's going to get anything for the elbow that didn't connect, I wouldn't
bet on it.
I wouldn't hold your breath.
No. So anyway, long story short, I want this to be about Kadri. I want this to be about overcoming things that you shouldn't have to overcome. It's an amazing game.
Mm.
One that I don't think he'll ever forget.
The best of his playoff career.
Absolutely. What a shame that it had to come at under these circumstances. And, you know, I was cheekily giving producer Drew the gears about Colorado never making it out of the second round. And I was going to kind of give him a hard time or whatever. But I basically made it impossible to cheer for the Blues as an outsider, to be honest, right now. I just can't. I can't after that. Like, Listen, the fans are not reflective of the team. Like, those shitty fans are not reflective of the Blues or their fans overall. I know that. But, like, the Buchnevich and the Perron stuff, you're like, man. And Binnington throwing a water bottle, you're like, come on,
yeah,
guys.
Like, Perron was the first guest of Agent Provocateur.
He was great.
You know?
He lost his fucking marbles last night, though.
Yeah.
He did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, like, I mean, so, like, anyone who's like, oh, you were always going to cheer for Nas, well, it's not like we don't have a bit of a soft spot for Dave for throwing us that bone, but he had a shitty game. Like, What do you want?
Yeah.
What do you want?
I picked the Blues to win the Stanley Cup in my bracket. And on a Thursday, I was making a case for Binnington for Conn Smythe, and I was going to do a hashtag Blues Leave. You know, blue leave.
Blues leave? Like believe, but blues? Believe, but
oh, boo!
I was trying it out.
It's not good.
And in 48 hours, because that was the day of the game, and in 48 hours, the fuck, it's over. This team isn't winning shit, and no. I can't cheer for this squad. That's so embarrassing in every single way. And also, Husso, just awful, oh, awful man. Performance.
I wouldn't write them off in terms of potentially winning, but if you're a neutral party and you gotta choose between the two, like,
yeah. I'm writing them off.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty tough.
Well, they're going back to Colorado.
Yeah, that's gonna be a crazy barn. That is gonna be the game to watch, especially the first 5 minutes. That's gonna be wild.
Bednar is gonna have the Herculean task of, because the killer instinct games are supposed to be the calm games.
Yeah,
and that building is going to be outrageous. Outrageous. You got to keep that whole team. All right. We got a job here. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Here we go.
So, Steve, you mentioned there is one more thing I want to mention. Well, maybe a couple of things we have to mention before this is all kind of wrapped up. You know, again, I wanted to make this about Nazem Kadri and the success he's seen, but it's you mentioned the taunt thing.
Mm-hmm.
And on Hockey Night in Canada last night, that's what Ron McLean called it. And if you watch the clip, basically Ron is saying that Nazem Kadri doesn't need to do the hand of the year.
Mm-hmm. Which, this is after his second goal, the one that came after the penalties.
That's right.
Yeah, he taunts the crowd.
Doesn't need to do that to enrage the crowd because it makes life harder on the ref.
Well, the ref part is, I think...
Ron's a ref.
Extrapolated, but yeah, that's what I got from it. I don't know. Listen, what's Naz supposed to do? Like, what's he supposed to do? Just hooray. And no, that's why... Hockey is so far down the depth chart of professional sports in North America. If, you know, Nas wants to rub it in to the St. Louis fan base, I think that's a great thing for the sport. As a neutral observer, I think it rules. He's probably got some justified anger towards that fan base, you know, and some of you Blues fans might be like, hey, well, it wasn't me. Well, no, but... You know, he's scored a goal against your team and feels good about it. I think that's great.
What I'm bummed about as a broadcaster, you know, we've had Ron on this show. Mm-hmm. I thought that comment showed a complete lack of empathy for what Nazem Kadri had just gone through for the 48 hours before that. I expect more. I just do. You know, if you want to talk about a comment that really, like, no offense to the referees listening, but nobody fucking cares.
It's not about they know. You.
Yeah, he's like, Ron mentions, well, this is a first-year ref, and you're making life hard on him. He's an NHL ref. Yeah. If he can't handle it, then get him out of there. If he can't handle it, he shouldn't be doing the second round of the playoffs. Okay? Enough of that. I don't give a shit. I've seen people walk back shit that they've said about the refs on that panel before. Because they get a call, and it's driving me crazy that we're talking about the refs when the actual story, which they have sidestepped, is that Nazem Kadri was attacked for 48 hours on his social media, death threats, had to be under police protection going into this game. How could we possibly go there? And for me, I think what's so surprising is Ron is known as an empathetic person. Ron is known as somebody who advocates for communities that are downtrodden. Mm-hmm. That's been his CV, man. It's on his resume. So I thought that the comment, I have to say, I thought that it did not put enough, not even close to enough, empathy for what Nas has gone through. Don't tell a man how to react after what he's just been through. Are you fucking kidding me? Come on. I that's Hockey Night in Canada in this country. And if you're an American, I apologize. Maybe you don't understand. You probably do.
I think,
but
do.
maybe no one's told you this. But Hockey Night in Canada is considered the pinnacle of broadcasting. I would have sold one of my arms to be a host for that show at one point. Now I just like doing our own network. It's kind of more fun. I grew up loving that show. I grew up loving that host, and wanting to desperately be a part of it because it just seemed like the place to be. And when you make comments like that, you take away that love and that feeling of belonging that Hockey Night in Canada is so special for a large chunk of the population. And I think that that needs to be addressed. I hope that that is addressed today.
Whether you know, to put it in wrestling terms, you see Kadri as the babyface or the heel in this situation, him, you know, bringing the fire and interacting, I think it's awesome.
It's the best.
Yep. It's the best. And I can't see how it's a bad thing. Also, Tim Peel, who was a ref like a year ago, tweeted Nazem Kadri's name, spelled wrong, with a turtle, a picture of a turtle. So, like,
this meaning was, what?
Meaning
that he runs away from a fight. He runs away from a fight.
Because I would have assumed slow. I was like, that doesn't make sense.
Oh, yeah. No, right. So, like, shying away from a fight. And this was a dude who, like, a year ago
was managing these games.
Well, his responsibility, managing is a very interesting word, Adam. But, like, you know, you were in charge of protecting these players, right? So you got a ref whose official opinion appears to be, fuck it, just fight him.
Right.
You're not allowed to fight, man! Like, it's a penalty, just, remember?
Just going back on what Adam was saying there, just outside of the Kadri situation, from a broadcaster perspective, I don't know why hockey commentators love telling hockey players to, like, tighten up their tie and not celebrate anything. Can we get away from not celebrating scoring in the sport and being happy that you accomplished something? Like, who cares? Athletes should be encouraged to taunt and show their personality while they're playing, while they're on television. This is exciting stuff. And it's a shame to hear broadcasters still in this day and age trying to talk athletes out of not celebrating their accomplishments.
Kadri, it's crazy. Ovechkin.
Right. Yeah. And this isn't just an accomplishment, guys. It's what he's, you know what I mean?
Right. But it reminds me of when Don Cherry was on TV for all the years and talking down these junior kids for scoring 9 goals in a game and being happy about it. It reminds me of that stuff.
Yeah,
Crosby scored a Michigan in junior, and it was the last time he did it, probably because of that shit.
The other thing is, we missed this in the clip that we played, but Kadri did start off that clip at the beginning saying he was not happy with Berube's comments. And he said, starting with their head coach, he made some comments I was not a fan of. I guess he's never heard of bulletin board material. So he felt the same way we did about those comments.
He's letting them know.
And what Peel tweeted,
you lost because of you.
What Peel tweeted was, Nazem Kadri bringing up Craig Berube in the post-game news conference shows me why he was shipped out of Toronto. It's about him and not about the team.
God, that just doesn't make sense, Tim. It just, that doesn't
make
sense.
That's a nonsensical take. It's what? It's so rooted in so many, it's so bad.
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. The scoring was almost exclusively about him. Like, I don't get it.
I don't know. That sounds like somebody also trying to stir up drama to boost their own profile, if I'm being completely honest.
Is that how you feel?
Yeah.
Wow. And I think, guys, we got to do better than this.
Yep. This is all embarrassing.
I think, honestly, as, you know, as networks surrounding the game, because there's three different networks here, I think we all have to, like, we're all going to fuck up. We're all going to make mistakes. I have made mistakes. Steve has made mistakes. Jesse's made mistakes. We all make mistakes.
Hey.
Okay, Steve's never made a mistake.
No, I've made lots of mistakes.
But this one's a slam dunk, guys. As you said, it's a tap-in, Berube. It's a tap-in.
Tap-in.
So, I guess we leave it at that for now.
Yeah.
I'm very, very excited to see this next game. And I hope what it is in Colorado, honestly, and I think this is what it'll be, is it'll be support cheers. You know what I mean? Like,
Nazem Kadri
like,
Day.
Yeah. Like Tavares after the Islanders
Make it
game.
Nazem Kadri Day in Denver.
Yeah.
Make it that. Don't make it about the Blues or about the flying elbow or about. Make it about Kadri and bringing that guy up.
Yeah.
That's the guy. That's your guy.
These debates we have in sports, they should never reach this point where people are getting threats. Like, you can talk about the running the goalie, but it shouldn't reach the point where we leave the sporting world and now somebody's family feels threatened.
Yeah.
It's such a shame that just stupid idiot fans make it this way.
At the end of the day, it's a piece of ice with a rubber puck and a bunch of knife shoes. Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's it.
Bring it down to that level, everybody.
Yeah. There's, listen, I know people say stupid and crazy shit online all the time, but again, you don't quite know what it feels like not knowing if the person is going to act on what they're saying.
Oh, there yeah. it is. Now,